Amen. How many of you could use a little more Jesus? Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. Got a simple message for you all this morning entitled Uncomfortable. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord, bless us now as we open thy holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. We were 30,000 plus feet in the air. My family and I were flying, this was back in June, to the pastor's meetings over in Texas from BWI. It was a late night flight. We have young children, and anybody with young children, you know, you either fly late at night or have them heavily sedated. And so since we didn't have any Benadryl, we took the late night flight. We're about an hour and a half into the flight. My wife and the kids were both fast asleep. I looked around the cabin. It was dark. There was a hum from the engine that had put most of the other people on the plane fast asleep. And I sat in my chair. This is about an hour and a half in. I sat in that chair wide awake. I could not feel anything from my waist down. The chairs are so small that we know this world is not built for tall people. The person in front of me had their seat tilted all the way back, almost at a 90-degree angle. All the way back, it was crushing my knees. The lady on my left was fast asleep, snuggled on my shoulder. I had never met this lady in my life. And this lady had the nerve to be snoring on my shoulder. And I sat there wide awake. I said to myself, I am so uncomfortable. I looked to my right and diagonally behind, and there were these two guys in the exit row. You know, the exit row has that extra leg room. And I just knew that they were no more than 4 feet tall, sleeping in an X fast. I knew they were just laughing at me as they saw me crunched up in this seat with this lady there. So as we continued our flight, my arm went dead, so it went numb. So I yanked my arm from under that lady's head. And it whipped her neck just a little bit. And she woke up. She looked at me. She said, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I told a little white lie in that moment. I said, oh, it's no problem. It's no problem. It's not a problem at all. So as we continued the flight, she raised her hand. The stewardess came. She ordered a drink. And she looked me in the eye and she asked me the dreaded question on an airplane. So what do you do? I paused for a moment. I said, now, lady, surely we don't need to have this conversation about my career path and journey and all that right here, right now. So I looked at her. I put my arm on her shoulder, not the dead one, but the other arm on her shoulder. I said, miss, I give people hope. I'm a pastor. She said, oh, you're a pastor. And for the next 2 hours, she and I had a long conversation. Have you ever been uncomfortable? I'll tell you one of the most uncomfortable experiences. I'll slip it in, then I'll move on. When my wife and I, we went on our honeymoon over to France. Hallelujah for France. Where's Joy? Joy's back from France as well. Can we give a hand for Joy? Back from her studies and travel in France. Excited and glad to have you back. And we stayed the first few nights in a hotel, but later in the week we stayed with my wife, had some family over there, Haitian, but French, Haitian, French family, what have you. So I'll never forget meeting them for the first time. Her aunt comes out, and in her culture, I guess some other cultures as well, there's this customary greeting where you kind of lean in and they kiss you on the cheek. Anybody familiar with that? But where they were, they kissed on one cheek, then the other cheek, and then back to the one cheek. And so she did that with Lindsay, shoo, bah, 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 shoo, 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 whatever she said. I said, okay, I'm okay with this. So the lady came over and I did the one kiss and the two kiss and the three kiss. And then her uncle came out and he leaned in and he, shoo, bah, 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 whatever to Lindsay and gave her the kiss. No disrespect for those who speak French. I just don't speak French. Leaned in and gave her the kiss. And then he stood in front of me and I reached out my hand. And he grabbed my shoulders and he pulled me in. I said, we're not about to do this, are we? We're not about to go here, are we? And he leaned in and our beards just kind of grazed each other. And then I leaned in and I did the second kiss. And then awkwardly went over to the third kiss. And your lips are, you know, your face are like 1 inch from each other, but it's so natural, it's so customary for them. And then her two cousins came out. Tall, 6 foot, stocky football player, older teenage guys. And I braced myself, I said, we're about to go there, aren't we? They said, and they came over, we did our kiss. Talking this morning about feeling uncomfortable. We never went back, and I'm never going back there again. As humans, we don't like to feel uncomfortable. In fact, we work with all of our power to resist discomfort. Many of us don't exercise like we should, not necessarily because we're lazy, some of us are lazy, but we don't do it because we don't like to experience the pain that's involved. I used to have a personal trainer, Dennis Powell, back there. If you need one, go ahead and get his contact. And I said, why after working out with you, I feel so worn out and exhausted? He said, because I push you past where you would normally push yourself. So if you're working out or exercising, you get one little beam, you know, of sweat. You say, I'm done. I'm done for the day. But we don't like anything that makes us uncomfortable. Americans spend millions of dollars each year for things to make us comfortable. Heated seats. Anybody have heated seats in their car? And you know, now they even have a heated steering wheel. We pay money for universal remote controls so we can sit on our couch or in our recliner and change everything that needs to be changed. When it's summer, we beg God for cool air. And then when it's winter, we beg God for warm air. And even in our churches, when we no longer feel comfortable, we pick up everything and we leave. But as I read scripture, we find that in most instances, the gospel makes us very uncomfortable. You see, I can't read or find anywhere where it's written that we as children and followers of God are promised lives of comfort and of ease. Jesus says it this way, you see on the screen. Jesus said, for if any man come after me, let him do what? Let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow after me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12, we'll see it there or follow it in your scripture. The Bible, it writes, for the word of God is alive and it's active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrates, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the interests of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, a sword is typically you hold the safe side and you cut with the other side, but a two-edged sword is cutting you at the same time. You see, as Christians, we're used to the gospel being all about blessings and breakthroughs and favor. We like those, do we not? I prayed for a raise and God gave it to me. I prayed for a new car and God blessed me with one. I prayed that coworker that was getting on my last nerve would leave and God got them located in another place. And don't get me wrong, we enjoy the blessings of God. And God enjoys blessing his children. Have you been blessed more than you deserve? God loves to bless his children, but I want to submit to you this morning that the life of a follower of Jesus involves more discomfort than comfort. Are you still with me? Say amen. Is your life made uncomfortable because you are a follower of Jesus? Paul was one of the foremost leaders in the first century church. But as you know, his journey didn't begin that way. In fact, as Paul, he was one of the foremost persecutors of the Christian church until the day Christ interrupted his life. We see in Scripture, Acts chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, Paul recounting his encounter with Jesus. He says, I am a Jew indeed, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Verse 8. So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Paul thought that he was simply out to put down these followers of Jesus with these strange beliefs, but he was really putting down Christ. Some of us think that in our gossip and negative talk about one another that we're just putting them down, but what we don't realize is that we are also putting down Christ. Jesus interrupts Paul, then Saul's life and his plans. But notice this. Paul accepts the chastening of God and turns his life around 180 degrees. You see, all of us have experiences where Christ interrupts our lives, challenging us to change our ways. Through our journey, we have these encounters when Christ comes along and challenges us to change our behavior, to change our habits, and to turn our lives around. We sit through sermons and weeks of prayer, the revival series, but oh, that we, like Paul, would stop running and let him change our name. You know, God wants to change your name and turn our lives around for him. From that point forward, Paul's life was never the same. He refers to himself in Romans 1, verse 1, no longer Paul the this and the that, but Paul, a bondservant of Jesus, a slave of Christ, the chief of sinners, and now a servant of Christ. Paul exchanged a life of comfort. He exchanged a life of ease for an uncomfortable life of serving Christ. Everywhere that Paul preached the message of the gospel, it was controversial. You see, when truth is being declared, it stirs things up. When truth is being told, it disrupts business as usual, and it tends to make us in our lives just a bit uncomfortable. Go over with me to Acts chapter 21, verse 28. Is it on the screen? Acts chapter 21, verse 28, and then verse 30 and down, crying out, Men of Israel, help! This is the man, these are those who are speaking against Paul. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into this temple and has defiled this holy place. And all the city was what? From this one man preaching the truth of Christ, the Bible says that all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, to do what? As they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. For we do not, well, we'll get to that scripture in just a moment. But as Paul was teaching truth, as God's word is declared in our lives, it disrupted their traditions, and the entire city was in an uproar. You see, Paul wasn't as interested in being politically correct with the Jews as he was in declaring that which God had told him to say, but they did not want to receive. You know, sometimes religious people can be and act worse than those who are not. Hopefully you've never experienced that. When you start to speak against the traditions of some religious people, you see, Paul, all he did was declare the truth of the way, of Jesus who had died and was resurrected, and it so disrupted their way of thinking, their way of life, what their plans and their expectations were, that all love went from them. All of the law that they had spent years studying, all of that went from them, and they sought to take this man's very life. The Bible says that they even began to beat him. There were those in Acts chapter 23 who took a vow that they would not eat or drink until Paul had been killed. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. How many of you have heard this passage before? But against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. Or in other words, we must remember that there is spiritual war going on all around us. And the truth is that those demonic spirits have made us so comfortable in our sin that we no longer recognize that they are the ones in control of our lives. There's spiritual warfare going on, and some of the demonic spirits have inhabited us through negative talk and gossip and putting down other people's and lies and our entertainment choices, bad habits of diet, illicit relationships, and we have a lack of motivation for spiritual things and the things of God because those demonic spirits are in control. They have us so comfortable that we no longer even pray to get rid of them. You remember how when Jesus would show up, whenever Jesus showed up, the people who were filled with demons began to thrash and to be tossed about. When Jesus came, when truth came, things turn in an uproar. Things get turned upside down. People are threatened by truth. And so as Paul preached, the whole city became in an uproar. So look at this. Paul is then sent to prison. And I want us to pay particular attention to what happens next. Go over to chapter 24 with me. Hearing about the plot against his life, his nephew, his sister's son, actually heard about the plot against Paul's life. And so they rushed him through the night over to Felix, the governor, to give an account. Is that the right verse? Okay, beginning in verse 21. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out. Let me find it in my scripture. I'm not sure if that's the right one. Acts chapter 24, verses 21 through 25. Let's go to verse 22. It says, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings. Paul was in court. When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or to visit him. Verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He wanted to hear this man's testimony for himself. Verse 25. Now, as Paul reasoned about righteousness or right living, as Paul reasoned about self-control and about the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. Or some versions say, Felix became very uncomfortable and said, that's enough for now. I will call you again when it's a more convenient time. As the truth that Paul was declaring began to convict his heart, he silenced Paul, sent him back to his prison place, and said, I'll call you at a more appropriate time. So what is the message for us today? Then I'll send you over to visitor's lunch. What is the message for us today? In many ways, I declare to you that we are much like the Jews in Jerusalem, and we are much like Felix and his wife. We like the idea of a God who benefits us. We love to serve this God who blesses us, makes us feel good about ourselves, and increases our comfort and the pride of life. That's the God that we want to serve. But when that two-edged sword of his word and his truth begin to demand changes in our lives, changes in our thinking, when God's word demands changes in our habits and our behaviors, when Jesus makes us uncomfortable, we want to send Jesus away. There was a young man getting mistreated at school. Another kid was teasing him. And the young man went home and he told his parents, "His kids are teasing me at school. What should I do?" The dad said, "Well, what do you think Jesus would do? Why don't you take a look at these three particular passages of Scripture?" So later that night, the boy went to his room excited to see which passage he would see or read about God's revenge on these young boys. Maybe he would read a passage about the plagues. Maybe the boy who was making fun of him would get a boil right on his forehead. And the young man began to read. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with suffering and grief. Not liking that scripture, he turned over to the next one. It says, "But I say to you, love your enemies." Not liking that passage, he turned to the next one. It says, "Turn the other cheek." The boy slammed his Bible shut. "This is terrible. I want to be popular. There's no way I can get my revenge doing what this Bible tells me to do." Closed the Bible, and he went outside. I declare to you this morning that comfort in life will not get you saved. We need to allow God and his word to enter into our comfort zones and to shake things up just a bit. How many of you could use some shaking up just a little bit? We need God's word to disrupt those spirits that have control over our finances, that keep us from paying a faithful tithe and a faithful offering, that keep us from being generous to help other people. We need God's word to disrupt those spirits that take over our emotions and cause us to think negative, depressive type of thinking, to take over our sexuality and our lifestyle choices, our choices in behavior. Take control over what we watch and take control over what we listen to, and to control how and when we serve God. God is challenging us as his last day people to take our faith to the next level, to risk discomfort, to welcome the correction of God, and to, like Paul, be willing to live uncomfortable lives for the cause of Christ. Felix never did release Paul, and he left him there for the last 2 years of his reign. What a shame it was that he resisted Christ's attempt to change his life. As I close, I didn't tell you the lady that kept me awake on the airplane. Come to find out, midway in our conversation, she told me that her husband had recently committed suicide and that her sleeping teenage son, who was by the window, was still pretty shaken up. She said, "I'm not usually so open about my feelings, but I'm so grateful for this conversation. All I wanted to do on that plane was to sleep in comfort heading over to my vacation, but as a slave of Christ, when he calls you to serve, you serve. As a servant of God, when he calls you to make changes in your lifestyle, in your ways, in your plans, and your behavior, you follow the call of the Master." God was more interested in comforting this hurting woman than he was in my being comfortable. God is more interested in saving your life than he is with your being comfortable on this planet Earth. Won't you let God's word break through and let him change your life today? So I have three appeals for you all this morning. Appeal number one: you heard God's word spoken to you today. So many times in church, we just believe that the message is for someone else. I want to know, have you heard God's word to you? If you've heard that, raise your hand this morning. God's calling on us to make some changes in our lives. Appeal number two, not so easy, but if you repent of your sins, all of us have sinned. Every single one of us have sinned. If you repent of your sins and in this moment you want to seek God's forgiveness and his grace to cover you, I'm going to invite you to do something uncomfortable, and that is to just stand where you are. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you recognize in this moment that you've messed up and you repent of your sins and you plead for God's forgiveness and his grace, I invite you to stand where you are. God bless each one of you. And finally, a bold appeal. It may not be for everyone. Prayerfully, it is. But if you'd like to relinquish your claims of comfort and give Jesus and his gospel permission to make your life uncomfortable for him, I invite you to just raise your hand where you are. God bless you. Maybe God will ask of you to stay home on that Friday night when all your friends are out doing what you know you shouldn't be doing. That could be uncomfortable. Maybe God will challenge you not to take that raise because it will require of you some less than moral decisions in that position. That's an uncomfortable thing. But if you want to let go of your claims on comfort in this world and commit to living a life of uncomfort, discomfort for the cause of Christ, God bless you. I saw many of your hands that went up today. Through it all, you know, Paul went through some rough stuff. Shipwrecked, beaten, mistreated, imprisoned, killed. But before he died, he declared in Romans 1:16, through it all, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though I'm talked about and mistreated, though things negative happen to me, though I'm lonely and I have no friends, I will stand firm for Christ, come what may. I will give up my cherished sins, those secret sins that no one else knows about. I will give those up and be uncomfortable for Christ. You know, he did that for us. Hanging on that wooden cross with his back exposed, splinters going into his skin. He was uncomfortable for us. Having nails driven in his feet, uncomfortable for us. Being spat upon, talked about, pierced in his side. Christ was uncomfortable for us. Won't we do the same for him? Heads are bowed this morning. And as I pray, if someone would like to turn their life over to Jesus, I invite you to come forward. Our clerks will be here as we prepare you to give your life to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. And Lord, we ask that you will take our lives and let them be consecrated to you. Forgive us of those times when we, like Felix and Drusilla and so many others, heard your clear word to us and resisted it, because it challenged us where we didn't want to be challenged. May we accept your word and your truth over our lives. May we become slaves and servants of Christ Jesus this morning. And Lord, we know that that will cause us to be in places we may not want to be in service for you. It may cause us to be wide awake on a plane for 2 hours in the middle of the night to serve when you call us to serve. But what we give up on this earth is nothing in comparison to what you will give to us, honor and blessings and mansions and glory in the kingdom that is to come. And so bless us to this end. May we, as Tacoma Park Seventh-day Adventist Church, live uncomfortable lives for you and turn this city upside down with the gospel. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Do something else uncomfortable. Give somebody a hug standing next to you. God bless each one of you.